and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Muggs. The COVID-19 pandemic has worsened a crisis already facing our oceans. 30% more waste is finding its way there, and that now includes face masks and latex gloves. The coronavirus pandemic has triggered an estimated global use of 129 billion face masks and 65 billion gloves every month. On a local level, consumer trash consumption is also up. Rumpke Waste and Recycling is seeing an above normal amount of residential trash under this pandemic. As more people work from home, they're generating more garbage on the curb. So let's talk about that now. Joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about the impact this pandemic has had on our waste streams, our Soul Buffalo founder and partner, Dave Ford. Dave, welcome to our program.
Hey, how are you? Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure to have you. And we also have with us Rumpke Waste and Recycling Director of Corporate Communications, Amanda Pratt. Amanda, welcome to the program.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Okay, so Dave, can you put this into perspective for us? Like, what exactly is happening to our environment as we're all shut-ins right now? I think even before we went on the air, you're working from home too. So are you guilty in this as well?
I like to think that I've gotten much better at getting my head around the plastic waste crisis. So yeah, just a little bit of background. We, Soul Buffalo, started a Ocean Plastics Leadership Network. And we have 70 of the top organizations in the world, 26 major brands like Coke and Pepsi and Procter & Gamble and Dow Chemical, along with some activist groups like Greenpeace, Upstream Solutions, basically like a full spectrum from, you know, activist to industry membership groups. So we're super deep on this issue. We took 165 leaders out into the middle of the Atlantic Gyre last year, which is where all the plastic is spinning around. And yeah, what we're finding is that COVID-19, while it's been an environmental sort of silver lining with respect to emissions, carbon's supposed to be down 5% this year. Wildlife markets around the world have been banned, and there's been a huge net positive for biodiversity. But the ocean plastics crisis specifically has gotten way, way worse. And not just because of the masks and the PPE that you mentioned that's getting into the system, which is like 200 billion per month. To give you some context there, if you were to stitch together all the masks in the world, then they, over the course of a year, would cover the entire country of Switzerland, which is a lot of masks and gloves and shields that are coming into the system. So, you know, it's the other thing is that we're starting to see recycling. You know, and I'm sure Amanda can talk to this. We're starting to see recycling programs pause recycling just because of the economic weight of dealing with the pandemic. Like we just heard that Baltimore City paused their recycling. And we're starting to hear about that, not just here in the U.S., but all over the world.
And what is the danger of some of these, I guess, materials, the face mask and the gloves ending up? I understand that to some sea life, they look like food, and of course they're not.
Yeah, well, the masks look like jellyfish. So when the stuff gets into the environment and into the water, you know, it looks like food. And you know, most of the masks that you see are made from plastic in some kind of way, shape, or form, and they're not recycled. You know, it's very hard to recycle them. There are some initiatives out there, like TerraCycle has a recycling program for personal protective gear. But, you know, I think we all have stories of just walking around and seeing masks and gloves on the side of the road. I was at the beach, you know, a couple months ago, and there are masks everywhere, you know, all over the beach.
Yeah, I'm seeing masks all over the sidewalk. So I guess they are being discarded. So what is your recommendation? Because we still need to wear face masks, according to health experts. Should we rely on certain materials more than others?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of the cloth masks that you see, you know, a lot of the textiles are also made of plastic, you know, so there's that as well. So even if you think you're not using like a, you know, a blue sort of sterile hospital mask and you're using like a cloth mask, chances are that could also be made of nylon or rayon or another plastic material. I think, you know, the key is to make sure you stay on top of what you have control over. And that is, you know, your own personal footprint, and just make sure that you're not letting any of this stuff get into the system personally. That's kind of one of the big things that we can do right now.
All right, we'll talk more about plastic and the oceans momentarily. That is Dave Ford. He is a founder and partner at Soul Buffalo. We're also joined by Rumpke Waste and Recycling Director of Corporate Communications, Amanda Pratt. Amanda, what are we seeing locally. I understand that across the country, as more people are working from home during the pandemic, we are just generating a ton more residential trash.
Yeah, over the past several months, we have noticed a vast difference in the amount of trash that's being generated, specifically on the residential side of the business. Early on in the spring months, when the pandemic first began, we saw upwards of 25% to even 30% more trash at the curb. And a lot of the types of trash that we started to see involve things, just general household waste, but a lot of people started doing their spring cleaning, and we saw a lot of remodeling taking place. So that really ramped up the amount of trash at the curb. At the same time, we also saw a drop off on commercial waste. And as things were locked down and shut down, we saw that commercial business taper off. Construction waste, for the most part, stayed pretty steady. We saw a little bit of a drop off early on, but that's kind of revived over the past few months. And even now, as we move into the fall and winter, because there are less lockdowns in our area specifically, we've seen residential waste continue to be a little higher than normal, but it's nowhere near the rates of 25% or 30% that we were seeing when Ohio was locked down and Kentucky was locked down and Indiana was locked down. So we have started to see the commercial rates trend back upward while the residential are starting to come back down. That said, there's still extra residential for sure, but we're starting to see it normalize a bit more.
Everything you've said, Amanda, seems to gel with what we know of society as we know it currently because of the pandemic, that people are at home, there are fewer people at corporate offices, but construction was always considered essential. So a lot of those job sites did continue throughout this pandemic. And now as more people do return to work, I guess that you are seeing more businesses throw stuff away. So let me ask you, based on that, has it balanced out? Has the decrease in commercial waste balanced out the increase in residential waste, or are we still seeing an overall increase in garbage?
There's an overall increase in residential waste for sure. I mean, that's still elevated some, not to the level that we saw in the spring by any means, but we do still see an uptick on the residential side. Commercially, as businesses come back, that's begun to rebound. However, it's not where it was before all of this started. So there is still that kind of uneven shift to more residential versus commercial.
Well, let me bring both of you into this conversation, because there are certain types of garbage that are starting to pile up as well, not just the PPE, not just the gloves and the mask. But I'll just use myself anecdotally. I order a protein shake from Amazon every month. It comes in one box, you know, a cardboard box, and then there's plastic bubble wrap inside to protect the actual protein shake box. And then the protein shakes are in a sort of plastic bottle. Let me bring Dave back into this conversation. How much garbage for the ocean have I created with that one order?
I mean, the chances of you in Cincinnati having that end up in the ocean are probably pretty minimal. But the fact that, you know, if depending on how you, whether you recycle or not, and depending on, you know, what you do with all that, a lot of that could end up in a landfill, which is an idea, I think, isn't ideal. I think, Amanda, how much of that stuff do you see in your landfills, I think?
Yeah, I mean, that brings up a good point and a good consideration. While we saw all this additional waste at the curb, we didn't see a significant increase in the amount of recycling at the curb, which is disappointing, because more than 60% of the typical household waste generated are items that are acceptable in the curbside recycling programs. And one of the things we've been trying to really emphasize is, with all of this online shopping, instead of us having cardboard coming in for recycling from commercial customers, it now has to come from the curbside customers. Retailers don't have the cardboard right now. Manufacturers don't have as much cardboard right now. So we're the ones that can generate cardboard recycling. And it's important to recycle all those Amazon boxes, all those online shopping boxes. However, you are right when you consider all the packaging that's layered in there, not all of it can be recycled. So we can take any paper or cardboard materials, but unfortunately, the styrofoam peanuts, the plastic pillows that are in there in those Amazon packages, unfortunately, we don't have a way to recycle that material curbside. So
yeah, it's you
really
have
about
to
recycling what you can.
You have to take like the bubble wrap and bags and plastic film. You have to take them to your Walmart or your Target. And right as you walk in the front door, you can recycle that. It's some work, but that's the best way to recycle the plastic film, like you mentioned, with the bubble wrap. You know, I think it's interesting, Michael, the sort of from a big picture situation, this problem is so complex and it's so global, right? The best numbers we have about 80% of the plastic waste that enters through the ocean, entering through five or six countries in Southeast Asia, and a lot of different countries in the global south or the developing world where there's just not waste management infrastructure. Like right now around the world, there are 2 billion people that don't have access to any sort of waste management infrastructure. Like no one's picking up their trash. So they have to burn it or they have to dump it in the river. They don't have to, but they choose to dump it in the rivers because they don't have anything else to do with it. And otherwise they would just be, you know, surrounded by their own waste. There's also projections that by 2040, there's going to be an additional 1.7 billion. So 3.7 billion people globally without access to any sort of collection. So it's interesting too, because for a while, the US has largely gotten a free pass, you know, and the developing world a free pass, because this is like an Asian problem has been a narrative. I've been in a lot of conversations with big, you know, sustainability leads of big US corporations, and many are like, well, this is like an Asian problem. And there was a huge study that just came out by the Ocean Conservancy and a bunch of the sort of luminary ocean plastic researchers, including Dr. Jenna Jambeck from University of Georgia, that really studied the United States and our impact here. And what they found is that, you know, we make, you know, more waste than anywhere else. For a while, we were shipping it overseas. The data from this report is based on 2016. And during that time, it was right when China closed their borders and they weren't letting any, the whole world used to ship their plastic waste to China and they would handle it, you know, on return containers. And they shut that down. And it's been, you know, a huge challenge for countries around the world to figure out what to do with their waste now. And a lot more has been going into landfill, but it's just landfill. It's just so complicated. But it really is a global issue because, you know, we're consuming so much of it, you know, in the Western world, and then they're trying to figure out what to do with it, you know, in the developing world.
You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about trash right now and the increase of it during the pandemic, particularly at residential households. We're talking with Soul Buffalo founder and partner Dave Ford and Rumke Waste and Recycling Director of Corporate Communications, Amanda Pratt. And Dave, you just talked about this being a global issue. I want to bring it back to me again, just to say that one, yes, I do recycle the materials that I know are recyclable from those packages, but I live in an apartment building. And Amanda, this might be a better question for you on the local level. As an apartment community, there's, you know, there's about 10 units in my building. And so there's like 8 garbage cans and then 2 recycling cans. And sometimes because of this increase in trash, you see garbage spilling over into the recycling bins. And I'm wondering on your end as a company, Rumke, how do you deal with that? Is our recycling actually going to make it to the recycling plant if some people have been irresponsible and thrown their trash bags on top of it?
Well, you bring up a good point. And also, Dave brings up a good point about how it's a global issue. I mean, it is accurate to say that a lot of material was going internationally. We were selling a lot of our recycling and shipping it to places like China. And China came up with the national sort that limit the amount of material that companies could send there for recycling. Fortunately, here in Cincinnati, Rumke has found manufacturers who are domestic, who've been able to continue to recycle all of our materials. So anything that you are putting in your Rumke recycling container is going to one of our domestic recycling partners. 98% of our material stays right here in the Midwest region. That said, when we have these situations where you live in a condo complex or an apartment complex, and you're seeing that recycling bins are being overtaken with contamination, there are a couple of ways that we as a company try to combat that. First, we want to make recycling easy and accessible for participants. So we try to be forthcoming with educational efforts, whether it's on the container, mailers, presentations, public events, social media, things like that. But second, in these times where people do have this extra trash, if we notice that, say at an apartment complex, there's an overloading of recycling containers with the wrong materials, that's when our driver is going to see that, and it triggers our inside team to reach out to that customer specifically and talk to them about different options that would better fulfill the needs of their residents. So if more recycling is being produced because more people are at home and more trash is being produced because more people are at home, then we can adjust the collection schedule. We can adjust the types of containers that are placed there for those residents to ensure that we're getting more material. Now, if something is very contaminated and it's not able to be recycled, we're going to inform them of that as well. But if we pick it up and it comes to our recycling facility, it will go through our system and we're able to recover about 93% of the material that comes through our material recovery facility. And most of the time, the 7% that we're seeing that we aren't able to recycle is either stuff that shouldn't have come to us in the first place, or it's just that residue material that cannot be recycled just because it can't get through the system for one reason or the other. So I think we hover right around that 90% recovery ability. And when there are challenges, it's really up to, it's a partnership between Rumkey and the person who's recycling or the owner of that building or the commercial business to find a way to recycle those materials and make sure that we have the right containers in place and the right collection strategy in place.
Amanda, you bring up a good point. It's what I want to transition to now as we start to talk about what solutions might be, and not just during the pandemic, but as the earth continues to spin beyond this. So what are some of the more common mistakes people are making when it comes to recycling, Amanda? And I mean, I see again in my units that people are throwing what they must believe are recycled materials, but we know are not. What are some of the common mistakes people make locally as it relates to recycling?
Well, here in Cincinnati, people have been recycling for a long time. I mean, Rumkey was recycling even back in the 1930s and 40s when we first started. And so I really want to commend our recyclers in the tri-state, because I do believe we have some very loyal, motivated recyclers. But there are mistakes that are made, and some of the things that shouldn't come through the curbside program include the plastic bags that we talked about just a few minutes ago. Those can definitely be recycled if they're dry and free of residue, but they aren't when they go through a curbside recycling program. So it's best to take those back to the department stores. They do all have those recycling containers right at the entrances. Another big issue that we're seeing in a lot of our facilities has to do with lithium ion batteries. We've seen quite a few fires in our trucks and at our facilities resulting from these batteries that are very common in a lot of power tools, toys, electronics like your cell phone, laptops. You can recycle electronics, but not through a traditional curbside recycling program. It's best to contact your household hazardous waste facility, your local solid waste district for options for those materials. But a lot of people, I think, just make the mistake of throwing batteries and flammable items into their recycling or even their trash. And once those batteries are compacted or smashed in any way, they ignite. So we've seen upwards of 20 fires just in the past year resulting from batteries. They are a big waste and recycling issue. So the National Waste and Recycling Association is working. They've developed a committee. They're trying to work with a lot of manufacturers to find new solutions for those electronic items so they can be recycled properly and so that we can educate people about that. And then finally, the other things that we see, a lot of times people will put linens in recycling. So bed sheets, clothing. We also see these things like Christmas lights and hose things that go through our system and they wrap around the sorting equipment and they destroy it. And when the sorting equipment goes down, that's downtime in the plant. And what that does is increase the cost of recycling. And one of the last things that we want to do is have to charge people more to do a good thing, to recycle. So it's really important to just adhere to the items on the top five list, which are just bottles and jugs, glass bottles and jars, metal cans, cartons, and then the paper products, and just stick to those. If you're ever in doubt, go to rumkey.com. Our acceptable items are right there. We also have a label on top of all the recycling carts here in the region that shows pictures and has a description of what you can and cannot recycle. And then finally, the last thing that we sometimes see that's dangerous for our employees who are doing manual sorting at our recycling facilities are medical needles and syringes. Those cannot be recycled. I know we tell people to put those in a laundry detergent bottle and mark the words on them, label it sharps. And put the lid back on it, that should go in the trash, and those should be completely contained and labeled. Those should never come to recycling because we do have hand sorters at the beginning of the process. So those are some of the main things.
That's Amanda Pratt, Corporate Communications Director at Rumkey Waste and Recycling. We're also joined by Dave Ford, Soul Buffalo founder and partner. And Dave, I know you're familiar with some of the mitigation efforts, particularly recommendations from the World Wildlife Foundation that include the elimination of what they refer to as unnecessary products, like straws, plastic straws. And that's a strange one. We are seeing a lot of small restaurants take that approach to remove the plastic straw. They're bringing in the paper straw. I'm not supposed to editorialize, Dave, but the paper straws are just awful. They're just awful. Are you seeing any evidence that this is working, though, as we reluctantly move in that direction?
Well, you know, I think eliminating single-use plastic that's not necessary is huge. Like, one of the big problems with the pandemic is that so many people have been eating out. And if you go to your small restaurants, there's, I think, this idea that it's safer to use takeaway than to have people washing dishes. That was certainly the case early on in the pandemic. But it's certainly chipping away, for sure. And, you know, the cutlery and straws and, you know, styrofoam plates and that sort of stuff. Like, you're starting to see more and more of that. Other materials that are coming out, they don't really compete anywhere close to on a cost perspective. One of the big challenges that's happened is that because during the pandemic, there's also been like a global oil crisis. You know, plastics made from natural gas and oil, and in the midst of everything, the cost of virgin plastic like absolutely collapsed, which has been really tough for recycled markets to keep up because the recycled material just isn't worth as much as it was pre-pandemic, which is interesting. On the flip side of that, you start so many Amazon boxes are getting recycled that the cost of secondary paper has gone up. I'm sure Amanda can talk to that, but you know, it's, you know, there. What we're starting to see, like a landmark report just came out called the Breaking the Plastic Wave report by Pew Trust and this organization called Systemic. And they basically modeled out through 2040, like how we can fix the global plastic waste crisis. And they basically said that you need to scale up everything across the board, whether that be upstream solutions, which would be bans and using reuse and refill dispenser models and plastic reduction, like virgin plastic reduction goals that are like, you know, sort of internationally agreed upon, and scaling up all the downstream solutions, which would be your cleanup, your advances in mechanical recycling, your advances into advanced recycling, which is like a chemical process. So really what we need to do to get ahead of this is basically go all out across the spectrum, the solution spectrum, to have a chance at reducing this issue by 80% in 2040, according to this Breaking the Plastic Wave report.
And Dave, if you were to give somebody advice, if they ask you, what's one thing I can do right now, what would you say is the most important thing and possibly a simpler thing for people to do right now, particularly as this pandemic continues to rage?
I think the most important thing that an individual can do, and obviously 7 billion people across the world, is to just become more conscious about what you're consuming and to think about when you're out, you know, the places that you'd get takeout from, think about what type of materials that they're using, you know, and try to go with the vendors and go with the restaurants that are thinking about their waste, right? It's really complicated. You know, when you think about all the different types of plastic, you know, it goes from like cigarette butts to, you know, electronics, to the plastic that's in your computers, to hospital waste, to sanitary waste, consumer packaged goods, anything you buy in a grocery store, tires, fishing gear, you know, plastic pellets, clothes we wear. It's all plastics in all of this. And the solutions are different across all these different sectors. But I think the key is just to start becoming more conscious and to start thinking about what you're using every day and to start learning about, you know, relatively the different types of plastics out there and make sure you're putting them in the right bins.
That's Dave Ford. He is founder and partner at Soul Buffalo. We've also been joined today by Rumpke Waste and Recycling Director of Corporate Communications, Amanda Pratt. Dave, Amanda, thanks to both of you for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate it, Michael.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.